Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music.
Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 93 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Philip Grimlockini, and I'm joined tonight by Mike Roguevox Martinez. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm happy it's Friday.
I'm very happy it's Friday. Very, very happy it's Friday.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good to finally be at the weekend this week. Before I start the show, I always do like a countdown, and I always wonder, like, do I throw you off because I actually talk to Adam before I do the countdown so that he knows when he's listening to the recording that I'm talking to him when he's editing the show? And I always wonder, like, does it trip you out that I name Adam?
It gives me it throws me for a second. I think, oh shit, is he in the call too? I didn't notice. And then I realize I'm dumb.
That's funny. Yeah, no, it's like a call. It's a call to him since he does the editing. But yeah, for the listeners, I always do like a countdown, and I always address it to Adam, and so it always makes me laugh. But Mike, it's been a week, but we're here to talk about some video games and have some fun. So let's do that. Before we kick it though, like, I have to ask you about your shirt. I know I asked you before the show, but I feel like it's a good conversation topic for the show. But you were wearing the same shirt last week, and so I asked you, do you have a uniform?
Yeah. No.
There's no uniform?
Nope. They're giving some swag away, and I took one home, and I'm like, and it was like an extra large. And I'm like, I told that lady, I was like, I don't know if this is going to fit. And she's like, all right, I'll get you a few more. So she, like, I will, like, work to the other office the day. She was going to give me a few more. And I came back, and there were like four shirts on my desk. I'm like, all right, I'll take all these then.
Yeah. So
I have three of these shirts, honestly.
That's awesome. It's,
they're actually pretty, like, I have an extra large, extra, extra large, and an extra, extra, extra large.
Okay. Yeah,
the triple X kind of just like, it's like the
swallows you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they're pretty good. They keep me cool. They're awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. We have a similar shirt, you know, like ours is like a brighter blue, but mm-hmm. you know, a shirt with the company logo and everything on it. And I don't know. I just wasn't thinking. I grabbed it Wednesday morning and I put it on. And I went into work and, you know, doing my thing. And then mm-hmm. I get up Thursday morning. I go to get dressed and I'm like, crap, I got to interview someone. And I look in my closet and all like my nicer polos I wore earlier in the week.
Oh, God.
And my shirt was gone. And I was like, oh, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I went with like a fancier button up shirt.
There you go.
It was a crazy morning, Thursday morning, but I wish I had my shirt. It would have made that getting dressed a little bit easier. But
right, you know what's funny is everybody else only got one shirt, and I got three. So like, if I wore these like twice in a day, they would think I just wore the same shirt. When in fact they're like three different shirts. So I'm just waiting for somebody to point it out. Like, weren't you wearing that yesterday? Yeah, but I have like several.
I have enough for every day. You challenge me. Let's go. That's funny. It's been a while, but we used to have at our office a uniform program, and you like they would direct deposit it out of your check, and they would supply you with like tan Dickies slacks and a button up shirt with the company logo on it, and then like if you brought them in every week, they would do your laundry for you too.
Okay.
So you'd bring them in on like a Friday, they'd do your laundry and they'd be ready for you the next week, right?
Right.
But man, those were like the cheapest clothes. And then you see all these, because they're like, they made it mandatory for all the production managers to have to wear this uniform. And so like, you see all these people in the same outfit every single day.
Man, that must get old.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I'd want any part of that.
The only thing they do for us is our ESD jackets. We just have to turn those in once a week and they wash them for us.
Oh yeah, your electrostatic discharge.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You're all fancy. Well, man, so I've got a little bit of a topic for us to address in the Shoot the Breeze section. I feel like it's a very, very important question. And I didn't realize you know, sort of how like sort of vitriolic this conversation has gotten recently until on April 12th, Buffalo Wild Wings tweeted out and calling out the haters for all the boneless wing eaters. So I felt like it was a good time to bring this up on the show and kind of talk it out and see where we fall. Boneless right. wings or bone-in wings? Which way do you fall?
I prefer boneless, but I won't turn down a boned-in wing. Like, I will eat them all. The thing is, boneless, there's just more meat on it. You're not, like, fighting the goddamn bone trying to get all the meat off.
Right? So yeah.
You just take a bite out of it. It doesn't matter. Like, really, it's just, you're eating chicken, and how, yeah. and at what ease you're wanting to eat the chicken is up to you. If you want to, like, eat it with a bone on, do it. If not, okay. It's silly.
It's the purest, because they're like, it's not really a chicken wing, is it, right? Because it's just like...
It's just like a chicken breast that's been cut.
Yeah, and breaded.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's better.
I eat it for the flavor. So, yeah, not just because there's a bone in it or not.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, though. Like, it is definitely more filling. Now, I guess there's, like, a sub-part to this conversation. Like, do you eat it with a fork then, or do you still eat it with your fingers?
I eat it with a fork.
Okay, yeah. I mean, same with me.
I don't know where my hands have been, or do
I don't want... And I don't want to get my hands dirty either. Exactly. With, like... I don't want, like, wing sauce dripping off my fingers, and they're sticky for, like, 4 hours afterwards, no matter how many times I wash them.
Right. Like, you don't see anybody eating a steak with their hands.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's stupid. Oh, my God. Like, honestly, why does it matter?
I'm with you. I mean, actually, I think it does matter, because I think boneless is just superior.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Buffalo Wild Wings or Wingstop?
See, every time I go to Wingstop, I can never, like, here we go. Buffalo Wild Wings, I knew exactly what I wanted. The Parmesan garlic. Because I love cheese and I love garlic. Like, this is my go-to. I know I will like it. And I got it and I love it. Every time I go to Wingstop, I get something different every time, and there's nothing there that I like. And I don't know if it's the ones I've been to, but every time I go to Wingstop, they're just too vinegary. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah. No, I think I fall on the Buffalo Wild Wings side too. Now, there used to be a time in my life where it was just definitive, like, don't even ask me. It is Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right.
Right. But like, they, a couple of years ago, opened a Wingstop like pretty close to my house. So that's like the closest one for me. So we eat at Wingstop quite a bit, because it's just easier to pick up food there, like on the way home from work or whatever.
Right.
And it's grown on me. But here's the thing, right? You go to Buffalo. Now, you say you've got your flavor, and it's Parmesan garlic, because I was going to go to that next. Like, what's your flavor? Mm-hmm. But for me, my go-to is that honey barbecue.
That's what my wife gets.
Yeah, that's honey barbecue all day. But like, the barbecue at Wingstop is not like honey barbecue. It's close. It's like a sweet barbecue.
Right.
But it's not the same. So like, you know, not only are the wings maybe slightly inferior on the breading.
Right.
But also you don't quite have the right barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I 100% understand that. There's just nothing at Wingstop that I like. I'm not saying they're bad. It's just I can't find anything there I like.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, my daughter, she does some kind of, I thought it was Parmesan garlic, some kind of Parmesan something when she goes to Wingstop. I can't remember what it is.
I tried the similar thing that they have, and I did not like it.
It's not the same?
It just did not, no. It hit different.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's, you know, I can't argue with that, because I'm saying the same thing about, you know, about the barbecue flavor. I mean, so... Right. Who am I to argue, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are you, have you ever made them, like, yourself, Buffalo Wings?
No, I've never tried to make wings myself. Yeah. Now that I'm talking about wings, though, like, I really want wings.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm about to, like, text my wife.
I'm, like, looking at the Wingstop website, and I'm like, okay, how do I get me some wings right now? It's called Hickory Smoked Barbecue is the barbecue they have.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have a flavor that is called garlic parmesan, but I guess it's just
it's it not
just
the doesn't same.
Hit the same. Mm-mm. Yeah, no, that's unfortunate. Now, do you go for the original hot anytime, or the, you know, the whatever, the crazy hot
no.
flavors?
Dude, I hate spice. Like, I like a little bit for just to enhance the flavor a little bit, but like if it is painful for me to eat, why the fuck am I gonna do that?
I know, right? Like, I don't understand.
I enjoy eating my, like, I eating is like my favorite thing in the world. I'm not gonna make myself go through pain.
Yeah, like, I mean, if my face feels like it's literally melting off while I'm eating, something's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased in that moment.
No. Do you ever watch the show Hot Ones?
No. What is Hot Ones about?
You've never seen, it's okay.
No.
Dude, I'm surprised. Okay, it's a YouTube channel, and they have pretty, like, high-end celebrity guests on it. And they have, like, 10 wings, and they go from, like, low spice to, like, ultimate. And it's just these guys, and he's just conducting an interview while they're eating spicy wings. And then, like, this closer to the, like, end of the interview they get, the guest is always, like, in either so much pain or completely fine. It's just, it's crazy how it affects everybody. But you need to go watch an interview. I got to find one that you might like.
Okay, yeah. They're fun. I'll check it out later after the show.
And it's like, the guy is like a really good interviewer. Like, he has like really good, solid questions.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So he interviews someone while they're eating like super spicy
wings. And he will eat them as well. Like, he does it with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. No, I feel like it just ruins the wing. Like when it you're does. Like, when yeah, I just and then like the poops afterwards when you have that kind of spice. Mm-mm. Yeah, no, it's not as hot coming out as it was going in.
Like, I am so weak that if I eat too many pineapples, it does that to me, and that's just pineapples. Pineapples. They're not even spicy.
That's funny. All right. Well, should we get on and talk about some video games?
What are we talking about?
All right. Yeah, let's get on to it. Because you know what? Each and every week we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics from the mythical world of video games. We also add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as you can handle in a week, simply because we love video games and discussing them. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media or directly with your friends. This show continues to grow thanks to all of your wonderful support. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1 and on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. DM us on any platform with your questions, comments, thoughts. You know what? Join in on the wing debate if you want. We'd be happy to share your thoughts on the show. All right, let's get right on into it. Mike, there's just a question mark next to your name as to what you've been playing this week. Do you not know yourself? You just don't know?
I did not write that question mark. It was there. I do know exactly what I played, and it wasn't a lot of anything. Because I just have been not in the right, like, I just haven't been in the mood to play video games this week. So I just kind of stepped away for a bit. Like, I would go on and, like, play a bit of something, but then I would just get tired of it and like turn it off. I just haven't been in the mood.
You didn't want to get in on any of the Rocket League action?
Well, see, I was down the game last night, but I did not get those notifications of you guys like messaging about that, so I was like, I just missed out on it. Otherwise I would have.
Bummer. Yeah, no, I definitely like tagged you. I was like at Mike.
Yeah, I don't know why, like sometimes, like, okay. My I'm using two phones right now because one of them, the screen is cracked horribly, and I still need it for work to log into my computer because I have that dang Duo app.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a chance to send it in, and then I'm using a shitty phone, which comes through everything. So like I leave my broke ass phone at work just so it's there, and then my cheap ass phone comes with me, and it is weird. It just doesn't connect correctly to like all my apps, and nothing like comes through. So even if you like ping me, like they won't notify me.
Well, that's disappointing. I was pretty salty last night. I was like, I was curing some meat last night in Rocket
League. Salting the fields in Rocket League.
Yeah, no, I don't know why I was getting so frustrated. I know why. It's because I was tired this week, but still, you know. Also, Tyler and I kept losing really close matches, and so that's always frustrating.
Yeah, it's never fun.
You know, like, especially when, like, you lose by a goal, and it's like you can point to one or two moments in the game where, like, you definitely should have done better. It's always frustrating.
Right.
But,
always.
All right. Well, for me, I've played three different things this week. Well, four if you count Rocket League, but we already kind of touched on it. The first was I put in a ton of time on Horizon Forbidden West this past weekend. I was like, I am finishing this game. I'm ready to move on and get to the next thing. So we're going to dive deep into it this weekend, and we're going to get this game finished. And I didn't get it finished over the weekend, but I did finish Monday night. So I have officially finished Horizon Forbidden West. I have my platinum trophy, platinum number 35 for me, my third of the year, after Guardians of the Galaxy and Far Cry 6 this year. I guess final closing thoughts on this game. I stand by what I've said all along, that this is just a weaker game than the first. You know, my clock total in the end was 65 hours. So it was definitely about 15 hours longer than the first one. It definitely felt bloated in the middle, but then also, like, at the end, it felt like some of the last areas you went to, I touched on this on the show last week, were just empty. Like, you didn't have anything in them. And then the story, I think overall the story is just, it just wasn't as interesting. I mean, it kind of becomes like a full sci-fi game by the end. Which I don't think that's really a spoiler. Like, if you're even like 10 hours into the game, you realize where the game's kind of going. And I won't spoil the ending. Trust me. I promise. I won't spoil the ending. But I just think in the end, really, the story was weaker for me, like, by a significant margin than the first. And looking back on it, like, I always said that the actual story of what you were doing in the present world wasn't that great, or at least was, you know, just sort of okay in the first one. But the story of, like, how the Earth got to where it got to and everything that happened in the past, like, really elevated the story for me in the first one. And so once you don't have any of that, obviously it kind of makes sense to me that the story kind of fell flatter for me this time around. It's a little bit disappointing. I mean, they've got a huge cast. You know, the one who, the lady who voices Aloy is, why am I drawing a blank on her name? She's the one in, she's in that Apple TV show about the game developers. She plays one of the testers. Ashley Birch is her name. She's pretty famous. She does voice acting for a lot of games. It has Carrie Ann Moss in the game, from The Matrix. She plays a character in the game. Lance Reddick is in it. You know, Lance Reddick from several things, but he's also in Destiny as well. Plays Zavala. So it's got a pretty good cast of characters, and I mean, there's good dialogue. It's just the story just is not really engaging to me, and yeah, I don't know. I felt like I was a little bit disappointed in the end. So I guess, you know, I mean, I've kind of traveled with this game with the audience all along at this point. So, you know, I think you kind of know my highs and lows of the game. I mean, I will say, for as disappointed as I am, I gotta couch this because, you know, it's still leagues above a lot of games in the industry, similar games in the industry. It's similar competitors or whatever you want to term it in terms of, you know, like the Ubisoft style open world checkbox type adventure game, right? Third person action adventure. Like, it's definitely levels above a lot of its contemporaries around it. So, I mean, it's still a very good game. It's just in terms of, like, going from, you know, its original, which was in my top five last generation, to this one, you know, I feel pretty disappointed in it overall. But I do want to kind of, like, just don't take my disappointment as, like, oh, the game's crap. That's not what I'm trying to say. I guess I just had a really high bar for this game, and it didn't meet it for me. And that's probably where a lot of my kind of disappointment comes from. But if I'm going to give it a review score, I'm still going to give it a 4 I think it is an excellent game overall. Mm-hmm. I just think for me, it's, you know, it's first, the first one was a masterpiece, I think, Horizon Zero Dawn. And this one just doesn't meet that same height for me. Next up, I played a little bit more Destiny. I'm up to gear score 15, is it 15? 1560, I think, now.
Oh, nice.
So making more and more progress. We're at the point now, I think we need to find someone to do the raid with us. I think that's where we are. But I'm also almost level 80, I think, on my season pass. So I'm trying to finish that off too before the season ends in a few weeks.
Right. Don't forget to get on your other tunes and claim your rewards for them as well.
Oh, really? You can claim all the rewards?
No, there. Not all the rewards, just the ornament, like the armor ornaments.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I didn't actually even think about that. I didn't even really know that was a thing. That's a good shout. We're playing with my dad, and we were doing the Nightfall the other night, mm-hmm. me, Tyler, and my dad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, Dad, we're going to go and do it like the hard version. And I know it's going to suck, but like we can get the score and then you get two pieces of gear.
Right.
And it kind of sucked and he got really frustrated. I feel for him. Like I get it. Right. I just don't, I'm trying to help him get there. Right. And he just seems to be really slowly moving along. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because he doesn't have the season pass or he hasn't played it to the level I have, or there's other activities that I can do that he can't because he doesn't have the season pass. I'm not sure. Right. But he's only like 15, 27, 28 right now. I get it. I mean, we were doing the Nightfall on 1550, the master difficulty.
That is tough.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it definitely was. I fell for him, but we got the 100,000 score. So we got him the pinnacle piece of gear.
Well, that's good.
I mean, I don't know. That boss is frustrating. The Nightfall boss for this week. It's the strike where you fight the knight with the giant axe at the end of it from the new expansion.
Oh, the one where he's like, he spawns in the center and then you have that, like that arena that's in a circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he like, because the arena is small enough and he can get to you pretty fast. And when he does his hammer slam, I mean, it's a one shot. Like you could be full health and it's one shot.
Easy.
At least for me. Maybe if you have enough resilience or something, maybe you're not. But yeah, it's like, it can be frustrating for sure.
Do you stack resilience on your mods?
I don't actually. I try to play pretty light because I play the Void class with the Invisible.
Uh-huh.
And I just have like dodge almost all the time.
Oh, gotcha.
Except when we did the Nightfall because it was like Solar Singe. So I thought, oh, I'll run my Solar class because it's 25% bonus damage.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't like really spec myself for it. Like I didn't put the Celestial Nighthawk on and things like that because I'm a bit of a noob at this, it seems. And so like it would have just been so much better if I had just stayed with my Void subclass. It would have been better. But I actually run myself pretty lean on resilience. I try to focus much more on my grenade and my super and my dodge ability.
So you prioritize just getting out of the way before you get hit.
Exactly.
Then taking the hit. Yeah.
Yep.
I stacked a shitload of resilience and also have like elemental splash time as resist. So like Boomer, like when they shoot their, I guess it's an arc, like grenade looking thing. It doesn't do that much damage to me.
Yeah. But I do definitely stack. You're talking about like on the chest piece, the solar arc resilience. Yeah. I do stack that on my chest piece, but otherwise I don't really stack resilient stats.
Gotcha.
So anyway, so that's that. And then the third game I've been playing, or not really been playing, I started it last night. So I started Ghostwire Tokyo and I played it for about 2 hours last night. So kind of got through the first chapter and a little bit of the game. I gotta say, like visually and what you're doing, like this game is really engaging and intriguing right now. You know, you wake up, like the game starts with you waking up after having like being in a car accident in the middle of Shibuya District, Tokyo, Japan. Mm-hmm. And you know, people are like, oh, what? Are you okay? Are you okay? And then you like get possessed by the spirit or whatever, and it makes you look all jacked up on the outside. And so those people run away from you. But then like this fog rolls in and all these ghosts just come out of this fog and everybody in Shibuya just disappears.
Jesus.
And then all the enemies are like all these weird ghost things. So there's like headless, like little girls, but they are headless running around in like Sailor Moon dresses after you. And then like dudes that look like the Slender Man, you know, the tall Slender Man. Mm-hmm. And then others, you know, other characters like that. So it's like, the enemy models are pretty. What's up?
I was reading the title of the game again. I'm like, I thought that was a racing game.
No, Ghostwire Tokyo is definitely not a racing game. Yes. I guess if you're not familiar, Ghostwire Tokyo is from Tango Games, which is a Bethesda subsidiary, so owned by Microsoft. But this was the last of the Bethesda PS5 exclusive games, timed exclusive games, when Microsoft bought Bethesda. So this is a PS5 exclusive for now. It'll be probably on Xbox in a year's time. It's a first person, effectively it's a first person shooter, but you don't shoot guns in it. You have like these spirit powers or whatever. You shoot this like elemental energy at the ghosts, and eventually, like if they get weak enough, you can like pull their like core out, and then they fade away to ether or whatever. So you are like, you're basically like shooting stuff out of your hands, but it is effectively a first person shooter, and you have a bow as well in the game.
Gotcha.
And then it's open world. You kind of go around this Shibuya district, Tokyo, and there's lots of collectibles and, you know, stuff to explore and all that kind of stuff. So, story-wise, it's very Japanese, very Japanese. It wants you to actually even play the game in Japanese, but I turned it to English because I had heard a review that said there was a lot of discussion while playing the game, like in between cutscenes. And so I was like, well, that would be like annoying because
you have to read subtitles the whole time,
yeah,
right?
That's annoying. Yeah. So I just put it to English from the start. Gotcha. But yeah, no, like visually, there's like a lot of color and a lot of pop and a lot of really cool stuff to look at and neon lights and things like that. So yeah, it's, I don't know, visually, it's really engaging and really, really interesting to look at. And the combat is interesting in that you like have this elemental energy and you match types of elementals to the different ghosts that you fight. And then like when you weaken them enough, you pull their core out. And it's this really cool animation where he like literally gets like puppet strings around their core and like does this thing to pull the core out. And it's, I don't know, it's pretty satisfying, like gameplay element of the game. So, lots of cute little like cats and stuff like that in the game, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm only 2 hours into it, but I am really engaged so far. I went to bed really thinking about this game last night, like in a way of like, I want to go play some more, but I really shouldn't because it's really late. So that's always a good sign when that's what the game is doing for you. So this will be the next one that I really try to dive into, and I'm sure I'll have a lot more hours into it by next week, and I can give you guys a little bit more insight into Ghostwire Tokyo and what's happening in that game.
Cool.
All right, let's you ready to move on into the topic of the show?
Let us move on.
All right, well, the topic of the show this week, I wasn't sure what it was going to be, and as I was putting the show together, I suddenly had this huge news topic of all this different Halo news that came together. And I thought, well, why not, since season 2 starts on May 3rd, which will be next Tuesday, why not just make the topic of the show this week all things Halo Infinite and all of the news related to the season 2 content and all the sort of the discourse around it right now, both positive. Well, there's not much positive. It seems like mostly just negative. And so I just wanted to kind of talk through all of that and give my thoughts on it and see where you were at with it, Mike. So, yeah, are you ready to kind of talk Halo Infinite?
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to read a little bit, and then we can kind of use that as the basis for our discussion. So here we go. Halo Infinite's long-awaited campaign co-op mode should finally launch in August, 343 Industries has said in its latest development progress update. However, Split Screen won't arrive until Season 3 in November at the earliest, according to its roadmap. And it's this roadmap that's really got a lot of the conversation around it. And I poorly did not link the article in the show notes. So I'm gonna drop the article in the show notes, Mike, so you can open it up on your side here, okay. So that you can look at this image. But it's this image that's really got a lot of talk right now. So it's the 2022 roadmap, dated for April 22nd. So season 2 is Lone Wolves. Then we already knew that title, and it's going to run from May 3rd until November 7th. And that's the Yeah, that's the first big talking point out of this roadmap, that people saw that and go, "Oh crap, it's another 6 month season." From Halo Infinite. So I guess let's start there. Like, how do you feel? I mean, I think a lot of us stomached the 6 month opening season because we kind of were like, okay, we get it. Like, you kind of launched maybe a few months early and now you're kind of making up for that. All right, we get it. But it'll get better after that, right? And then season two, of course, is another 6 month season. So yeah, let's start there.
I wonder, like, if that's just what their roadmap, like, if that's what their season setup is going to be, is just every 6 months.
No, I think they want to get to 3 month rotation, just like Destiny.
All right, so like, it's just there's not going to be a lot here to keep players engaged for 6 months, man. There's not a lot, unless it's just a really fun game type, just like a like BR mode like type of level. But I doubt that. Like, it's not going to hold people's attention.
I mean, they are bringing King of the Hill, Land Grab, and that Last Spartan Standing, which sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Although I will play that very infrequently because normally we play together and I cannot play Last Spartan Standing while in a team, or fire team. But yeah, a lot of people pointing to the fact that you've only got two new maps, one per type, you know, one arena and one big team battle. Right. And we're going to be another 6 months before we get new maps again. So
they're going to have to like drop a little something 3 months in, just enough to keep people still engaged in the game. Because this will last about 2 to 3 months, and then people are going to be like, "All right, need something new."
Yeah, I mean, I finished the season one pass like I can't even remember how long ago. It was quite a while. I mean, I still play Halo pretty much weekly. I play it much less than I was, although once this new season pass pops, I'm going to be playing more because now I'll be more interested in the you know, the objectives or whatever. What are they called? You know, the things you do. Play this game type so many times.
Challenges?
The challenges. Thank you. I don't know why that word wasn't coming to mind. But I'll be much more interested in the challenges once the new season pass hits. I mean, I still have a lot of fun. I think there's some network stuff still going on. I really do. It is so up and down sometimes. I'll get in there and I'll play a game and I'll just get owned. And then the next game I'll be 16-10 and I'll carry my team to a win. And it's like,
it's a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah, I don't really get it. Now, I don't play ranked, so maybe that's part of it. Maybe if I played ranked, it might be better. I don't know. But it's definitely light on content. And then to try to stretch this out 6 months again is, I gotta say, it's an oof moment for Halo Infinite. You know, I've always said that if in 4 or 5 years' time, I mean, so like, when did Destiny 2 come out? When did it launch?
2017.
Yeah. So, I mean, Destiny 2 is 5 years in now, and now they're really into this cadence for the last 2 to 3 years of like getting these passes out every 3 months and having new content and really engaging and having a lot going on. I mean, if in 5 years' time Halo is in that sort of a cadence, nobody's going to really remember this time frame, but.
It's
a weak launch, and you know, I guess we always come back to this question, like, did they launch too soon? So I don't know. What do you think definitively? Do you think that it was the right idea to launch the game last November, or do you think they should have waited?
I honestly think they should have waited. Like, I know it would have pissed a lot of people off, but in the end, like, I do not mind delays for this reason. Because if you need more time, take all the time you need. Who cares if people get pissed off? Because they're going to be more pissed whenever this kind of shit happens.
Yeah.
So, and like, people will forget about that. And whenever the game comes out and it's complete, that's going to be all the hype, not them having to delay it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's difficult, right? Because I feel like we did get a full campaign. I felt like the campaign was good. I had a lot of fun with it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really strong entry into the series. Right. And the multiplayer is a lot of fun. But the problem is you're kind of rotating between like the same four or five maps. And so from a content perspective there on the long-term item and then like how poor the items have been, how poor the customization has been, the difficulties with the season pass. It definitely felt like the multiplayer aspect, the live element aspect of the game is what really suffered. That's what was probably not ready at launch. And from a Microsoft perspective, you had Forza Horizon 5, which really took the gaming world by storm, I feel like, last fall. It did really well critically and commercially. And I feel like from a Microsoft perspective, you could have just waited to launch Halo Infinite until it could have been launching this month. And right. Everybody would have been totally hyped and ready for that. Mm-hmm. And the Christmas season the holiday season could have been held by Forza Horizon 5.
Right.
And you could be launching with all of this content already kind of stacked and ready to go so that your first season's only 3 months and, right. You know, the game launches with Catalyst and Breaker instead of those being like first update, you know, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, even just a 6 month delay could have really helped.
Yeah.
Halo Infinite.
Yep.
From a live element perspective. Kind of looking at a couple of the other things, they mentioned the new maps, which we already knew about, and the new game modes, which, again, we already knew about and we talked about on the show last week, I think. They talk about narrative events, new narrative events, Interference, and Alpha Pack, and they give those dates. So Interference is going to be at launch of the season for the first 2 weeks. They mentioned the new Battle Pass, free armor core and earnable credits. So they're going to give you a ways to earn credits for the store through your battle pass, which is good.
That's a good thing.
Which we already kind of knew they were going to do that, but it's finally launching with this new, the season 2 pass. We see the next fracture event in Trench. So throughout season 1, it was Tenrai was mm-hmm. the fractured event. We see that that's going to be officially titled Entrenched for season 2, and the first week of that is May 24th. And then they dated co-op campaign for online co-op. And this is, again, another disappointing thing about this roadmap is that they're saying late August target. So it's going to be almost a full year after launch before they get co-op campaign into the game.
Now, the co-op, it's the same like story. It's just co-op, right? They're not adding anything new to
Correct.
It.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm really disappointed. I was hoping they were going to get that in. I mean, they should have had that in at launch, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
But I was really hoping that once we knew that wasn't going to happen, they were going to have it by the summer, because I would have really have liked to do a legendary campaign run with Tyler over the summer.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, August. I mean, you're going to be falling into the fall release window, and I think there's going to be a lot in the fall release window. So this is just going to be dead on arrival for me.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's a little late there.
Yeah. Then they mentioned Forge open beta in September. So again, another hugely popular feature of past Halo titles that was not at launch. That's really gotten a lot of, I mean, Halo's gotten a lot of criticism for not having Forge, and the open beta of it not coming until September of this year. Just, I mean, I don't know, man, it really does feel like, this game released, and I mean, it was already a full year delay, mm-hmm. but it just continues to feel like, you know, I don't get it. Like, do they need more people at 343? Do they need more support studios? Do they need to just go buy Certain Affinity and stop having them working on some stupid battle royale and just get them to get these pieces in place? Like,
right. Like this, like the co-op and that those game modes should have just come with Halo on initial launch. It should have just been there.
1,000%.
Here we are.
And yet here we are. On the right, we do see they label season 3 starting on November 8th. So a new 100-tier battle pass. They're promising new maps, new modes, new sandbox items, new narrative events, new fracture event, the Forge open beta, and then the campaign split screen co-op. So that's couch co-op. So really, basically, they're saying all the same things that you're getting in this season, just new pieces of it. So hopefully by then, that's just a 3-month season, though, and they're starting to get into that cadence. If that's the case, then maybe they can start saving at that point.
Right.
So we talked a lot about this roadmap. So let's go on to some of the other news that kind of came up around this. So there was a live stream event, as well as some statements, and I thought there were some interesting pieces that came out of from that conversation. But before we get to that, I want to touch real quick on this the ditching of the core system, the armor core system. So I linked another article down there, item F there. Mm-hmm. So they announced it during this live stream. That I want to get to some of the more interesting comments. But before we go there, I do want to touch on this armor core piece because I think it goes with the first part that we've been discussing. But they're basically saying they're going to ditch the armor core system. So anybody that's played Halo Infinite knows that you have like the armor core, so like the sets that you can build from, mm-hmm. but not all of the pieces and all of the color items are usable on all of the core sets. So like if you go to the store and you buy an armor color, it's for one of the core sets. It's not for all of them. So it's very frustrating in all honesty. And it really kind of a stupid thing to do. And they've kind of just acknowledged that. So here's the quote from Jerry Hook, who's the head of design for Halo Infinite. He said, "We really lost incorrectly the strength that Halo Reach and Halo 3 brought to the franchise of allowing players to really mix and match everything. We knew we'd have some struggles there, but we didn't realize it would be as bad as it was. So we are looking to move away completely from the core system. What that means for season 2 is you'll start seeing specifically what I would call in canon cores. So if you earn a coating, it's usable across all of those cores. If you earn a shoulder piece, it's usable across all of those cores. We're slowly trying to move everything to be more ubiquitous." Later go on.
I don't understand how that decision was made to like separate shit like that. Why was that a good idea in the first place?
I don't know. And they say we knew we'd have struggles there. So what were your positives? What positives did you think you were getting out of it that money. Made it worth? I would think so.
That's mainly it, man.
Yeah. $5 for this color. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can only use it on this core. $5 for another color.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that's what it was, which is just, dude, that's sad. It really is. It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. That should be called for that. They do go on later to say that the Fracture armor core, so the Samurai armor core, will not be getting any changes for the time being because I guess the sort of geometry of the structures of the armor pieces are fundamentally different from the other armor cores. So like they can't just make them work in game right now. And so they're going to leave that one behind, which again, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, do you got new leads there? Like, what is going on with some of the decisions that were made? It's just weird. I don't know, dude. I'm trying not to be too hard on them, but Yeah.
I mean, they got to be called out, man. They got to do better.
They really do. But at least they're going forward. They're going to, you know, make the armor ubiquitous. They're going to make each piece more interchangeable, which will help people to be able to do a better job of being able to make themselves unique and right. have, you know, tailor to what they like, which is one of the things I really do get frustrated with. When I'm trying to build my character in Halo, it's like I go to Destiny and I can really just kind of go crazy and get all these different pieces and different shaders and like yeah. all the stuff going on. And then I go to Halo and I'm like, there's like four things I can pick from.
Right.
And none of the colors look good. So thanks.
Yep.
All right. So let's go back to some of the interesting pieces that were mentioned in these statements. So first of all, they stated 343, they being 343, stated that it is prioritizing the health of its development team above all else. And again, acknowledged that it wasn't producing content for Infinite as fast as it would like. So part one of the statement, we know we need to deliver more content and more features more quickly. But staying true to priority zero on team health means that sometimes we need to slow down in order to stay healthy and move faster later. But we're also aggressively looking at ways to accelerate. So the way I read this is they're basically saying we don't want to have crunch. Mm-hmm. So because of that, it takes longer for us to do things. And I don't know. So I want to pick this apart a little bit and I want to see what your thoughts are. If I take this at face value and say that they're being 100% truthful with me, mm-hmm. that, yeah, they're just making sure that their employees only work 40-hour work weeks and things take as long as they take.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing? Well, I mean, I think so. I think looking at employee health is a good thing. Can it be true? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I work in an environment that is all about production of artifacts. For us, it's engineering drawings. For them, it's art assets and gameplay mechanics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go through these processes, like it just takes time. And you never know what you're going to find as you work through your engineering pieces. And I'm sure it's the same here with them. Right. And I can tell you right now where I work, we do not work 40-hour weeks and still make schedule. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
It goes up and down. We try not to work overtime when we can, but... I mean, every week people are working, or not every week, every month there's at least a week or two a month that people are working overtime.
Right.
So if they're really saying like, look, we're not going to make people work overtime, and because of that, it's taking longer, I can see both of those statements being both good and true. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, I'll flip it to you, Mike. What do you think about that? And, you know, is this the right direction from them?
I 100% believe that this is the case here. Now, because at my work, we're having a bit of a crunch. They're switching us to 3 shift days. So that's going to be fun to deal with later on. But the thing is like nobody's working extra overtime. We're still getting 40 hours. You know what I mean? But the way we're doing it is we're bringing more people on and we're getting outside help from our parent company. So 343 is part of Microsoft. So like they have other people to help support them. Like it's not just them. You know what I mean? Right. So I'm glad they're like taking their employees like health seriously and not wanting to burn them out, but try to find a solution to where you can get stuff out faster, like bringing in outside help.
Yeah. Now I will say that hiring people is not some kind of instant productivity boost, right?
No,
I mean, you hire someone, you have to train them. They have to understand your processes, how to work in your engine, mm-hmm. you know, all those kinds of things. So that is a slow process. It's usually about 6 months before someone's truly helping productivity.
Right. No, I agree. But these issues were probably seen a year and a half ago. So they could have just brought on more help.
Yeah. I mean, again, I do agree with you. But again, being someone who's in a position that is a hiring manager, the last 2 years have been difficult to grow.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
And something that people, and And again, I'm trying to take them at face value, right?
Right.
Could they be looking at the environment and saying like, oh, well, people seem to be really against crunch. So if we like throw that out there, then maybe they'll forgive us.
Right.
If you're a cynical person, you could take that look at it. But I'm going to try to take them at face value. And I'm going to offer some perspective here. So as a hiring manager at a company, at a large company, what we've found is two things. One, when 2020 came around and the pandemic started, basically people froze a bunch of stuff. You know, the government froze a bunch of funding. Private industry froze a bunch of funding. Basically, we were all like, I don't know what's going to happen. How long is this going to last? Mm-hmm. What restrictions are going to come down from the government? What will people be able to do in terms of when they can work, where they can work, how they can work? You know, what will happen from, you know, a perspective of contracts and workflow and things like that. So there was a lot of people that got real nervous at high level corporate levels. Mm-hmm. And they put a lot of freezes on a lot of stuff, hiring, project starting, R&D, things like that, right? I would imagine that Microsoft suffered some similar situation where maybe it wasn't as pronounced, but I'm sure that it affected them. And then as you get through 2020 and you get into 2021 and things start freeing up and loosening up and people start graduating college and things like that, it's still been difficult to hire at the levels and the speed at which we were before COVID happened. And we're only just now dragging ourselves out of that malaise that we had. So, you know, if you think from this point now, it's still another 6 to 12 months to really correct that and get moving. Mm-hmm. I can see where this could have caused like a real problem. And, you know, it may very well have been that, I mean, I don't know, I'm with you that Microsoft have a lot of money and 343 are supported by Microsoft, but it may very well have been that, like, look, we need to get this product out and we need to start making something off of it and then kind of keep working with it. Mm-hmm. Because if we just wait until everything's perfect to release it, it could be 2 to 3 years time. And is that acceptable? No, I don't think that would have been an acceptable answer. So, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to look at this at face value. I'm trying to offer some alternative perspective. I'm not trying to say that that's exactly what's going on and we should all forgive them, but you know, that's just kind of what I'm throwing out there from a different perspective.
Right on.
All right. So then they go on though, and Joseph Staten, who's the head of creative, had a more, somewhat more interesting thing to say. I'm kind of shocked he was this blunt. He said, quote, "Well, one thing to make really clear, none of us inside of 343 look at this roadmap and are happy with it. All of us want to be doing things faster to deliver more content. You know, we still have this desire to get into a rhythm, a healthy rhythm, to where we can ship a season every 3 months," end quote. That's crazy. We are not happy. We look at this roadmap and we are not happy. But that's what you put out.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably didn't have a choice like that. They had to give us something, and that is what they could give us. It's not the best, but like, yeah, that's it's better than nothing. And so, they realize that it's crap, but that's what they have.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm trying to tell myself. Like, do I look at this as crap, or do I look at it as what you've given me is good? It's just not enough. Because those are two different things, right? Because if it's just crap and it's not enough, then that's kind of unforgivable. But if it's good, it's just not enough, then maybe I give you just a little bit more leeway still.
And, right.
Like a little more chance to kind of correct it.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's difficult for Halo. They really are in a struggle, in a difficult position right now. Mm-hmm. And I think Microsoft, Big Daddy Microsoft, need to come in and give 343 some help and some direction.
Yeah. They need it.
They definitely do. All right. Well, the last little bit before we get out of this, the last little rumor that I'll tack on to the end of this, Windows Central journalist Jez Corden is claiming that Halo Infinite's long rumored Battle Royale mode is still on track and could launch as early as November of this year in line with Season 3. That could be a big win for them if they actually got something like this in place with the season 3 launch.
I agree.
So I guess we'll see. I think it's pretty surefire that it's Certain Affinity is the studio working on this mode. So this is outside of 343 that this particular mode is getting built and is happening. So we shall see what happens and keep tracking those rumors. All right, are we ready to get on to the new speedrun?
Let's do it.
All right, sticking with Microsoft. Number one, Microsoft has confirmed plans to host its E3-style Xbox and Bethesda showcase, game showcase event on Sunday, June 12th. So that is a little more than 6 weeks away, or right at about 6 weeks away. They said, quote, "This show will feature amazing titles coming from Xbox Game Studios, Bethesda, and our partners around the world. The Xbox and Bethesda showcase..." Or sorry, I should give it its full title. The Xbox and Bethesda Games Showcase will include everything you need to know about the diverse lineup of games coming soon to the Xbox ecosystem, including upcoming releases to Xbox Game Pass to Game Pass on Xbox and PC. The event will start at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time or 1 p.m. Eastern Time on June 12th, as I said, and will be streamed on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. What do you think, Mike?
I am excited.
I am too. I think they're going to have a lot to say and show this year.
Yeah. And I love that it's just them and they're not having to they don't have a block to get everything out. They have is all the time they need.
Yeah. I mean, they're not tied to some E3 time slot, as you mentioned, etc. It's their day. It's their show. And they do whatever they want.
Hell yeah. I'm excited.
How long do you think it'll be? Do you think they'll still try to keep it in that hour and a half or hour to hour and a half? Or
probably. I think it'll be I don't think they want to keep it too long.
Right.
But yeah, hour and a half seems like a good length.
Yeah. I'll be excited as we get a little bit closer to this date. I mean, maybe that'll be... I'd have to look at the calendar. That could be right around our 100th episode. Is when this showcase is happening. But I'll be excited as we get closer to maybe do sort of a predictions thing, start talking about what we think we might see there, what we hope to see there, and stuff. But yeah, that'll be exciting. This will probably be the first big thing we get this summer, I would think.
Yeah. Okay. So I just counted. And the week after, the week during the 12th, will be our 100th episode.
Okay, so covering this event will be episode 100 for the podcast.
Yeah,
dude, that is so exciting. I think we need to try, I think we need to try to watch this together or something. That could be really fun.
Yeah,
that as a podcast team and everything, and kind of react to the show together and everything. I think that'd be really fun. I'm excited. I think E3 is awesome. The idea of a Super Bowl of games that we look forward to, I think is awesome. And we've kind of lost that. So I'm going to pin my hopes on these big showcases. And I'm excited that Microsoft has got one lined up for us. I'm ready to go.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Quick side note. It's not in, I don't think I saw it. Never mind. You did. Let's continue.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, Xbox and Bethesda. Ex-Bethesda. The Ex-Bethesda game showcase.
I love it because it's kind of like Expo, but Bethesda. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there you go.
There is the title of our podcast that week. Adam,
note it down. That week, episode number 100, the Ex-Bethesda.
Ex-Bethesda.
All right. Number two, sticking with Microsoft still. Microsoft has claimed that strong Xbox Series XS sales have seen the company capture market share for two consecutive quarters. On Tuesday, April 26th, the company's gaming business posted record revenue for a non-holiday quarter, which was up 6% year-over-year to $3.74 billion. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said, quote, "With our Xbox Series X and S consoles, we have taken share globally for two quarters in a row. And we are the market leader this quarter among the next-gen consoles in the United States, Canada, the UK, and Western Europe," end quote. Xbox had its best March on record last month in the U.S., both in terms of consoles sold and dollar sales, according to NPD Group. Xbox Series X and S was also the best-selling console platform of the first quarter in dollars, the market research firm reported on Monday. So that's important because, you know, the number of consoles you sell and the amount that you make is not always the same, right? You often see that Nintendo Switch will sell more consoles than Xbox or PlayStation 5, but because they sell for cheaper, the other one might still make more money that month than, right, than Nintendo did off console sales. Xbox Series sales in Europe were also higher than those of PS5 for the first time in February, and Xbox Series XS were the top-selling consoles in the UK again in March. So that's also very interesting because oftentimes Xbox really sells well in the United States, like fairly close to PlayStation, but in all the other markets, PlayStation blows it away and you get this big growing difference in the sales. Right. So the fact that Xbox is also outselling PS5 in the UK is very interesting. Final piece, interestingly, Xbox Games Marketing General Manager Aaron Greenberg endorsed a VG Charts figure posted on Twitter last week that suggested that Xbox Series XS consoles have sold 13.87 million units in 17 months.
Wow.
Compared to the 9.38 million that Xbox 360 had sold at the same stage of that console's life cycle. So it's selling faster than the 360. This is really interesting because Microsoft doesn't put out actual sales numbers. So the fact that this was put out and then retweeted and endorsed by Aaron Greenberg, a Microsoft Xbox employee, is really interesting. That's about as close as you're going to get to Microsoft actually telling you how many consoles they've sold.
Right.
I will say that don't get like too crazy. PlayStation are having some serious supply chain issues and cannot really get a whole lot of consoles to market right now.
Right.
And I think that is one of the big reasons why Xbox has taken over the last couple months.
Yeah, that's, I was thinking that too. Like there had to be something that was keeping Xbox from being sold. Or PlayStations.
I mean, that's still though, I mean, we shouldn't take too much from Xbox. I mean, that still shows that they are generating interest and people are wanting to buy the consoles.
Right. That's pretty good.
Let's see. I was trying to see if there's any number. So the last number, the last number that I can find for PS5 sales suggests that they're up around 17.3 million units. PlayStation's still selling just a little bit better than Xbox. So Xbox still has to catch up, but the gap is a little bit closer than I think people expected it to be at this point in the new generation cycle.
Right.
All right. Anything to add there, Mike?
I kind of want to go back to that, the comparison of the 13.87 million units and the 9.83 million for Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Let's think about like how old we were when that came out, the Xbox 360.
Okay, so 2005, right, the Xbox 360 launched.
So what's happening, I think, here is we're getting more people into the market that are more interested in video games now than they were back when the 360 released. So that's also a factor. Like, there are more people that have money that are gamers than they were before. And I believe it's only going to get higher as, like, in 10 years. Like, we may be 13.87 million.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the number of gamers has only just continued to grow, and we're getting older and we're getting more stable in our jobs and we're getting more capable of buying these consoles, especially buying multiple consoles.
Yeah.
You know, in 2005, I had to pick which one I wanted to go tell my mom I wanted for Christmas.
Yeah, and you picked Xbox.
And I picked Xbox at the time because I had grown really into Halo, and Halo was important to follow.
Right.
And but,
like right now, there are high schoolers that want both consoles, and they can't just because they can only get one. So when they get old enough to get a job and be part of this market, that's just going to make everything go up even more.
Yeah, and you and I will still hopefully be here buying those consoles. So,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this time around at launch for these, I had a PS5 and an Xbox Series X at launch.
Yeah, I have. I had three Xbox One S's, so one for each room, quite literally. One for me, one for my wife, and then one for the living room. For
that's really funny. I not to derail too far, but I've actually been thinking recently that I wanted a second PS5. I haven't told my wife this yet because I think she's going to go crazy at me. the only reason I haven't done it is because I thought, well, maybe I should wait. Usually I never get in on any of those special edition consoles because I can't, like, I could barely afford to buy my first console, much less a second one. I was thinking maybe I should wait until those come out because now I do want a second one for a different room in the house and maybe I could afford one. Yeah, anyway, I digress a little bit here. All right. Number three, let's look at March NPD sales data for video games in the top 20 games sold in March. I know that it's like end of April, but I don't know. I didn't find the numbers until this past week, so I don't know what was going on with that. So here are March numbers. Number one was Elden Ring, and Elden Ring is now the highest selling game for this calendar year and the second highest selling game behind only the Call of Duty game for the last 12 months. So Elden Ring is a massive commercial success, which is pretty crazy. Number two was a new entry, Gran Turismo 7. Gran Turismo 7 is the highest selling game at launch in the Gran Turismo franchise. So despite its struggles at launch, it still sold really well commercially for PlayStation. Number three, another new entry, Kirby and the Forgotten Land. So another Switch exclusive. Number four, another new entry, this time MLB The Show 22, which is another PlayStation well, it used to be PlayStation exclusive, but it is PlayStation first party developed. So number two and number four from PlayStation Studios is a big, big statement there. And then number five was Horizon Forbidden West, which was not new for March. It released in February, but it still came in at number five. So three of the top five games, PlayStation first party studios. Big month for them. Number six was Pokemon Legends Arceus. Number seven was WWE 2K22. Number eight, Mario Kart 8. Number nine, Call of Duty Vanguard. Number 10, Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. Number 11, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Number 12 was Ghostwire Tokyo, which I am playing right now. Number 13 was FIFA 22. 14 was Minecraft. 15 was Madden NFL 22. And not too much else interesting down below that. Mike, any thoughts here besides PlayStation having a big month?
No. Like, I didn't... Elden Ring, like, I knew it was good, but goddamn. Holy shit.
Yeah. Commercially, this game is massive success. And I haven't even bought in on it, and I was actually, like, a pretty big Souls fan
before What is now. Your reasoning? Is it because you're playing Horizon?
Yeah, I mean, this time I was like, you know, I want to, because last time I bought Horizon and then I bought Zelda right after it, and I ended up getting sucked into Zelda more.
Gotcha.
And then it was later that I came to Horizon for Zero Dawn, and because I liked the first one so much, I was like, no, I'm going to focus Forbidden West. That was part of it. The other part of it is, like, I think there's, like, a lot of stress in my life right now, and I don't know that I could go with a Souls game right now.
Right.
Even though I really enjoy them when I'm in the mood for them, if I'm not in the mood, fighting those bosses is a very frustrating experience.
Right.
The last time I broke a controller was playing Sekiro. Oh. So, you know, I've been pretty good since Sekiro came out, which was 2018. So I'm trying to keep that streak. I'm trying to keep that streak going, man.
Yeah, let's keep the controls in one piece.
Yeah, for real. All right, anything else to add on NPD sales?
Nothing.
All right, number four, we got a little bit of an Activision Blizzard update here. So stockholders have voted to approve Microsoft's acquisition of the company with more than 98% of the shareholders voting at a special meeting on April 28th in favor of the proposed transaction. That is overwhelming support from the current stockholders at Activision Blizzard in favor of Microsoft's acquisition. We kind of mentioned that this vote was coming up. was required as part of the process, and here are your results. CEO Bobby Kotick said, "Today's overwhelmingly supportive vote of our by our stockholders confirms our shared belief that combined with Microsoft, we will be even better positioned to create great value for our players, even greater opportunities for our employees, and to continue our focus on becoming an inspiring example of a welcoming, respectful, and inclusive workplace." End quote. I kind of guffawed a little bit there. It's hard to read that with a straight face. But, I mean, listen, they have to strive to be a better place. And you hope, or at least I do, that Activision Blizzard does become a better place for its employees. Because why would I hope for anything less than that?
Right.
So, you know, yeah, I can guffaw at his statement, but I really do hope that it becomes a much better place for people to work at.
Yeah.
This obviously does not yet mean the deal will go through, of course, as it is still subject to investigation by the Federal Trade Commission, but was an important step along that path. Mike, anything to add to this one?
Nope. I'm good there. Well, when is the FTC going to, like, when is that going to be finished?
It can take a while. I would say, so Microsoft continues to state that they expect this to be closed by the end of their, I think by the end of their summer quarter of 23. So sometime in the June, July 2023, they expect it to be.
And no Call of Duty coming out next year or this year.
There's Call of Duty coming out this year, but not.
Not next year.
Next year, I think.
Okay, cool.
So yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right, number five, Sony. Let's move over to Sony now. We've talked a lot about Microsoft, Xbox, Xbox Games, Activision Blizzard to be purchased by Xbox. Let's get on into Sony. Sony has announced the release date schedule for its new three-tier PlayStation Plus subscription service. As previously confirmed, PlayStation Plus Essentials, Extra, and Premium tiers will begin rolling out in June and arrive first in Asia, followed by North America and Europe, with the targeted North America release date now being set for June 13th. I thought this was really interesting because the statement was like, release date now. And then when you go down and you read the release date, it says targeting June 13th. I'm like, did you confirm a release date, or did you confirm that you're trying to release by then? Like, what? This kind of confusing.
A little weird verbiage.
Yeah, but I'll take it at face that, you know, June 13th is the date for this revamped PlayStation Plus launch. Mike, I know you're not a PlayStation player, so you may not have much to say on this, but do you have anything here?
I was looking at some tweets and they're like doing a good bunch of comparison, and people were kind of like, they didn't seem happy with it, but everything looked like, as far like, there's not, they're not trying to cheat you out of any time. Like, they're giving you what you paid for. So everything looks fair, and like, it kind of jives out in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think that from a value perspective, the premium tier is asking too much money for what they're offering. Mm-hmm. But I think the extra tier might be a good place to be as a PlayStation player. I mean, it'll be difficult to judge properly until the service comes out. Right. But the extra tier is offering additional PS5 and PS4 games and a pretty big library of them. So depending what's in that library, that could be where your value is at.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. As a PlayStation player myself, I'm actually starting to get... you know, I think the summer is pretty dry and barren right now. And so that might be a fun couple months to jump in there and check out what the service looks like and report back to you guys and let you know. But right. I'm going to kind of try to keep any thoughts in check for now and see what happens.
Right on.
All right, number six, staying with Sony, they've confirmed that it's disabled PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now subscription stacking ahead of the revamp of its membership services this summer. In an update to its official PlayStation Plus FAQ page made on Friday, the platform holder claimed it had blocked subscription stacking temporarily and confirmed that going forwards, any voucher codes will not be redeemable until after an existing membership expires. In addition, Sony said that for existing subscribers, vouchers will now convert to time, quote, equivalent to the monetary value of their subscription. So I guess what had happened is, like, when they initially announced this, they basically said all PlayStation Now subscribers would be upgraded to the PlayStation Premium tier. Mm-hmm. And 12-month PlayStation Now subscriptions were only $60, and the premium tier is going to be $120 per year. So people were buying like 4 or 5 PlayStation Now cards, so they basically got premium for 50% off for the next few years. And PlayStation and Sony, yeah, they jumped in and put a stop to that at this point. All right. Number 7, Overwatch saw its highest day ever on Twitch, hitting a record 1.5 million concurrent viewers on April 27 due to the launch of the Overwatch 2 beta. Players hoping to participate in the Overwatch 2 beta can register for the chance to do so or gain access to it via Twitch drops. Running until May 17th, the Overwatch 2 beta will only be available for PC, but Blizzard has said it has plans to include console players in future tests. I thought this was really interesting, Mike, because we were talking on the show not that long ago about like how they kind of flubbed this one. They'd waited so long to put out Overwatch 2 and sort of the climate around Activision Blizzard right now. But it seems like that's not true. I mean, that 1.5 million concurrent viewers and a record for Overwatch, that's pretty big. That's a lot of people tuning in.
Yeah, I was one of the ones watching it. It looks pretty exciting. I was watching Tim the Tatman play Bastion, and the changes they made to him look really, really fun. And the new game mode looks fun too. So like, I'm actually kind of like interested in hopping back in.
Yeah, low-key excited for this. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was really interesting. I felt like we had to mention it. I mean, that's a big drop of people there.
Yeah. So.
All right, our final news topic for this week, number 8. I'm going to keep talking about it, it seems. But these are incredible numbers. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is now the highest grossing video game movie of all time in the United States. And it's third week in U.S. cinemas. The movie held firm at second place in the box office charts, grossing a further $15.6 million on top of its existing earnings. According to Box Office Mojo, that means the movie has now grossed a total of just over $146 million in the U.S. To compare, number 1 in video game movies of all time is Sonic the Hedgehog 2, as we said, $146,258,543. Sonic the Hedgehog, the first one in 2020, is number 2, grossing $146 million even, so about $250,000 short of its sequel. Number 3 is the Uncharted movie that just came out a couple months ago, grossing $145,959,000. So just behind the two Sonic movies there, really close. Number 4 was Pokemon Detective Pikachu, and number 5 was the 2001 Lara Croft Tomb Raider movie. I believe that one starred Angelina Jolie, didn't it?
Yeah, my wife loves that movie.
Yeah, I remember that one. It was actually a pretty good take on Lara Croft. I think that Angelina Jolie was the big driver for why so many people wanted to go and see that movie.
I think so.
But yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, highest grossing movie, video game movie of all time.
Good for them. Yeah, have you watched them?
I did. I went and saw it opening weekend with my daughters. I really like this movie. Nice. I thought it was pretty good.
I haven't even seen the first one yet. Like, I really been wanting to watch it. I just haven't really got around to it.
I really like the first one too. And I think the second one is better. Oh, cool. I think it's just a fun story. They did a good job with it.
Right. Did you ever play any of the Sonic games?
I did. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a Genesis owner. I was a SNES owner when I was a kid, but I had friends that had Genesis, and I always thought Sonic was pretty cool. I'd go over to their house and play.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I could beat Sonic 2 in like an hour and a half.
Nice. Are you gonna
speed run that shit?
Are you gonna get the re-release in June when it comes out?
I'd like to.
Yeah, I think I will too, for sure. All right, that's all the news we got. So let's get into, all the main news topics that we got. So let's get into upcoming releases and game announcements. Today, April 29th, is the launch day for the Nintendo Switch Sports title, so the spiritual successor to Wii Sports. Coming up next week is Trek to Yomi, May 5th. And then May 10th, we've got Salt and Sacrifice. May 26th, we got Sniper Elite 5. All right, game announcements. Nintendo has confirmed that Splatoon 3 will be released on September 9th of this year. The release date announcement was accompanied by a new trailer for the game. I have almost zero interest in this, Mike. Are you going to play Splatoon 3?
No.
No, okay. Well, I got to at least let our Switch players out there know that listen to the show. I'm not trying to hate on it. I just, I don't know. I played the first two, and I'm not... I was never a big fan, even of the first two, so right. Not going to happen for me. Number two, Infinity Ward has officially confirmed that the next game in the Call of Duty series will be called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
This excited me, because the original Modern Warfare 2 is the first Call of Duty game that I really hardcore got into shooters.
It was a very good game.
That was my... I bought a 360 just to play this game with Tyler. Because, like, I was done with WoW. I'm like, okay, I want something different. And a shooter was like, this is it. I've picked my game type. I will commit to it. So I went and bought a 360, bought Modern Warfare 2. And, yeah. What's funny is, like, I'd never owned a console since being on my own as an adult and then buying a game. And then I remember I bought the console. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go buy a game. And I was like, what the fuck? Games are $60? Holy shit. Because I'd never bought a console game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand.
And I'm like, okay, well, this is my hobby now.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 2 was great. So it came out in 2009. And of course, that was the game that cemented us as gamer friends, right? I mean, we all worked at Lowe's together. Mm-hmm. You know, you, Tyler, Adam, me. I think Jason was in and around there somewhere at some time. And then I don't remember what his real name was or at this point. But
Cookie Monster?
His gamer title was Cookie Monster. And I thought mm-hmm. he was a Lowe's guy too, right?
Well, no. We knew him through Mark, who was a Lowe's guy.
Okay.
All right. And we played with Mark and Cookie Monster.
Yeah, man, I wish I could. He was such a cool dude, and I have not spoken to him in like 10 years now at this point.
I see him online every once in a while. Do you not see him?
I mean, I do, but I haven't spoken to him in 10 years. So.
I bet you anything they're going to grab Modern Warfare 2, and we should just invite them to play.
Yeah, we should.
Along with First In, Last Out, and then his wife. And remember all them?
Yeah, dude, yeah. No, those were days, man. But yeah, so there's a lot of fond, nostalgic memories around this game. This was mm-hmm. the first one we played. And then, of course, Black Ops mm-hmm. from 2010. We played a lot of that together. Yeah. But then I graduated school and had my first daughter in 2011. And that's when Modern Warfare 3 came out. And I don't think we ever really played that one together. And so those were those two golden years.
Yeah. Modern Warfare 2 and Black Ops. Those were the...
Yeah. Yeah, and we kind of fell apart for a few years until Titanfall came out in 2014, I think. So, I mean, there's a lot of good memories there. I mean, they didn't show anything with this announcement.
No, it was just like the logo reveal, right?
Yeah, but it is very exciting. All right, number three, Disney and developer Gameloft have announced Disney Dreamlight Valley, a new free-to-play life simulation adventure game coming in 2023. According to its official website, Disney Dreamlight Valley challenges players to restore a once idyllic village ruined by a mysterious event called The Forgetting. The game is set to release in 2023 for Nintendo Switch, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series XS, Xbox One, PC, and Mac. Xbox Game Pass members and players who purchase a Founders Pack will be able to join an early access phase this summer, which will be available on all platforms. I bring this one up because it looks very similar to like Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. but with Disney characters. And when my daughters saw this the other night, I showed it to them. They freaked out. They're very excited about this one. They're both huge Animal Crossing players and huge Disney fans. So we'll see how this comes. I mean,
it's being free to play.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried though. Like, what does that mean from a microtransaction level? We'll see.
Right.
But yeah, one to keep an eye on out there for dads who have little girls that might be interested in Animal Crossing in this type of game. All right, number four, EA has announced details about Apex Legends Season 13 ahead of its release next month. Titled Saviors and set to launch on May 10th, the new season of content introduces Apex Legends' latest hero, Newcastle. I put this in here for Jason. Of course, Jason's not on the show this week. But yeah, a new Apex Legends season coming up.
Right on.
Number five, Blizzard has announced a release date for Diablo Immortal and confirmed a PC version now. So apparently, we don't all have mobile phones, apparently.
Apparently not.
The game will enter open beta on PC when the mobile version launches on June 2nd, Blizzard announced this past Monday. Players can now sign up for the open beta ahead of launch in June. According to Blizzard, the game will focus on a, quote, untold chapter in the Diablo saga. Since it'll be on PC, will you check it out, Mike?
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. It'll probably hold me over until Diablo 4.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I'll probably come in and check this out a little bit. We'll see. All right, number six, Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection's release date has been set for June 20th, 2022, according to an updated release date feature on the Epic Games Store. This is, of course, the PC version. The PS5 version is already out. This is the PC version. Number seven, this is actually the piece of news that got me most excited this week. Yes, I know. I've said it on the show before. I'm an open, slightly embarrassed, massive Avatar fan. Avatar The Way of the Water, which is the Avatar 2 official title, is set to launch on December 16th with the first trailer and an Avatar re-release on September 23rd. So, yeah, this is pretty exciting. They said, quote, set more than a decade after the events of the first film, Avatar The Way of the Water begins to tell the story of the Sully family, Jake, Neytiri, and their kids. The trouble that follows them, the lengths they go to keep each other safe, and the battles they fight to stay alive, and the tragedies they endure. Mike, wow. Are you as excited as me?
I'm pretty excited, dude.
Dude, I am so looking forward to this. And you bet your ass I'll be at the movie theater in September to see. Dude,
there is only one way to watch this the first time, and it's at the movie theater. Like, the first Avatar movie, like, I watched that shit in 3D when 3D was, like, the huge thing back in the day.
Yeah.
My God, there is no other way to watch that.
I definitely saw it in the theater, but I did not watch it in 3D back then.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess it's kind of hard for you to watch the 3D with your glasses, huh?
Yeah, I don't really like 3D. It's not my favorite.
Gotcha.
I mean, I can. It's just like I need it in short bursts, not like long movies.
Right. I gotcha.
Yep. All right, final piece of announcement news. The Super Mario animated movie starring Chris Pratt has been delayed this spring 2023. The news was confirmed on April 26th on the Nintendo of America Twitter account with a message written by Shigeru Miyamoto, who is co-producing the film with Illumination CEO Chris Meledandri. It was originally scheduled to release on December 21st, 2022. A little bit sad, but not too long of a delay. Mm-mm. Hopefully this is good. I don't know. I don't have high hopes. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. All right. Free games. Oh, my gosh. We got so many announcements. PlayStation Plus games for May have been announced. I did not update the show notes to say May, but it is the May games. Mm-hmm. FIFA 22, Tribes of Midgard, and Curse of the Dead Gods are your May games for PlayStation Plus. Xbox May games have been announced. Yoku's Island Express, The Inner World, The Last Monk, Hydro Thunder Hurricane, and Viva Pinata Party are the May games. Then the next Epic free game has been announced. Terraforming Mars will be available from May 5th through 12th. And then May's Amazon Prime gaming lineup was also announced this week. Holy shit. If you want free games, they're out there. Just go claim them all.
They really are.
Dead Space 2, The Curse of the Monkey Island, Out of Line, Mail Mole, and Express Deliveries, Cat Quest, and Shattered Tale of the Forgotten King will all be available through an Amazon Prime subscription. You can claim those starting May 1st. Game Pass. There were Game Pass announcements this week too. NBA 2K22 just got dropped out of the blue. So if you're a basketball fan and you're excited for the playoffs that have just begun and you haven't checked out NBA 2K22, you can now do so for free as part of your Game Pass subscription. Last year, NBA 2K21 was added to the service from March 4th through August 31st. So I suspect we'll see a similar setup here where for the next 6 months until the next NBA 2K game comes out, you will be able to grab 22 in Game Pass. And then finally, a few more games, 7 Days to Die, Research and Destroy, Bugsnacks, and Unsold, all available this week on Xbox Game Pass.
Right on.
Okay, Mike, that's it. I finally made it. There was a lot this week.
It was pretty hefty. It was thick.
Yeah.
Very dense.
Lot of little bits and pieces of news. You can tell we're getting close to the summer and the time of announcements, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have for you wonderful listeners this week. Mike, why don't you take us out?
Why don't I? Why don't I do that?
You just, I don't know, just do it.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the 93rd episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember to like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you have any questions for the show, DM us on Twitter or Facebook. Or we can mail Philip. We'll send you his address later. The show will be back next Friday on episode number 94. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and game hard.